The U.S. military evacuation of Afghanistan continues today, despite the terrorist attack on the Kabul airport yesterday that killed at least 13 troops and dozens of Afghan citizens. Here's Major General Hank Taylor at a Pentagon briefing earlier today.
We have the ability to include evacuees on U.S. military airlift out of Afghanistan until the very end. The Department of Defense has the continued responsibility to support the State Department in the ongoing movement evacuees through our intermediate staging bases and safe havens all the way to the United States in the coming days and weeks.
Matthew Akins is one of the few Western journalists still in Afghanistan. He covered the attack yesterday for the New York Times, and a warning that some of his reporting will be disturbing to hear. He's on Skype. Matthew, welcome.
My pleasure.
And tell me what you're seeing today in Kabul. What's the mood like?
Well, last night was obviously a terrible night. You had these suicide attacks, 170 people killed. Today has been quieter. The Taliban have set up a larger perimeter around the airport. There's less crowds that are going to the airport, but there still are people who are hoping to get out. We're hearing planes take off throughout the day.
All right. Is there anyone outside the airport still trying to get in? Is anyone getting in through the gates of the airport?
Yeah, there are still people who have gone to the airport who are trying to get in. And I think that they have been taking in certain people, maybe people have U.S. passports or visas, but it's not easy to get in and the window is closing fast.
You visited a hospital yesterday after the bombing. What did you learn about the extent of the casualties there and who suffered the brunt of this attack?
Well, it was Afghan civilians. You know, the suicide bombers detonated in a very crowded area where people were packed in trying to get into this airport to show the Marines their documents. So the figure, it seems to be climbing, but right now we have more than 70 who are confirmed to be killed, more than 100 injured. A lot of them were families, women, and children. I went to the hospital, the emergency hospital in the center of Kabul, and there was just ambulance after ambulance arriving there, unloading victims of this bombing. Many of them were in very bad condition. Some of them were little children. So it was a horrible scene, and it became clear at that point just how bad this incident was.
Have you been talking to any of the witnesses? What are people telling you about what they saw and what they felt?
I haven't. They were just saying it was a terrible scene. You know, these bombs went off suddenly in the crowd. There was smoke and dust everywhere that people were choking on, panic as people fled, bodies everywhere, missing heads, missing limbs. It was in an area where ambulances couldn't really access because of the airport security. So quite a few people bled to death. Some of them bled in the canal, which was red with blood. So it was an awful scene.
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday, the Pentagon and the president said that there were still active threats against the airport. What do we know about the risk now and how the U.S. military might take steps to keep another attack from happening?
Well, the risk is obviously extreme. There could be more suicide bombers out there. I'm not exactly sure what the military is doing, but no doubt they must be adopting a more strict defensive posture. They're probably trying to get more standoff from the crowd, but the catch-22 is really that they're trying to identify people who qualify to be brought in out of that crowd. You can't really do that without getting up close and looking at their documents.
Yeah, and that was the issue yesterday. Earlier this week, you sat down with the Taliban for an interview. Now, that was before these bombs went off. But what is your sense of how equipped the Taliban is to handle the threat of further attacks?
I think the Taliban was not prepared to handle large crowds trying to get in the airport. We're talking about thousands, if not tens of thousands of people who are extremely desperate. So they don't have any kind of trained crowd control personnel or equipment. They've been trying to hold back these crowds with whips and gunfire, basically. But the reason that they're doing this is to keep the airport from being overrun, as it was last week, where you had people on the tarmac. So in a sense, they're actually doing the work of the United States and other internationals to protect the evacuation.
And do we know how many Americans are still waiting to be evacuated? Is there a sense that some will just inevitably be left behind past the August 31st deadline?
People are definitely going to be left behind. The window for evacuation is pretty much closing now because they're going to have to start pulling out their own troops in time for this August 31st deadline. So there are going to be people left behind. There are people who are choosing to stay behind. The advice I've been giving to people, for the most part, is to stay home. The airport is extremely dangerous. Just wait. Hopefully some kind of normal flights will resume in the near future, and people will be able to go out that way.
Before I let you go, this is a terrible story. You're confronting it head on as a journalist. How are you feeling?
Just extremely busy, so there hasn't really been much time to process what's going on. We've seen everything that we kind of thought we knew about this country melt away, a new government come to power. They haven't actually appointed their officials yet, so there's a lot of uncertainty. And we're just trying to get out every day, understand the situation, meet with all sides, including the Taliban, who have assured us that they do want foreign journalists as well as diplomats and humanitarians to stay and continue their work. So as long as we have those assurances, and as long as we feel we can manage the situation, we're going to stay here and do our work.
Well, thank you for doing that, and thank you for making some time for us today. Matthew Akins has been covering this story for the New York Times. He joined us by Skype from Kabul. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Thank you.